Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for physical therapists nationwide. An exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619.
This is the PT Pinecast. And we're on the road, live from Miami. We packed the cooler full of beer and took the show on the road. We talk PT, drink beers, and record it. This is the PT Pinecast, recorded live from the National Student Conclave in Miami, Florida. Proudly supported by the American Physical Therapy Association. With your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, here we go. The next episode of the PT Pinecast starts right now. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. We are at the Political Action Committee for the Physical Therapy Association. Their event, they've got an event at every single conference. These guys know how to throw a party. National Student Conclave in Miami, Florida. And we're doing a little bit of a collaboration ourselves. Karen Litzy, welcome to the show. Say hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Happy to collaborate.
Yes. So we're kind of melding podcasts together here at Conclave. We have to paint the picture right now.
Oh, yeah.
What are you wearing?
Oh, what am I wearing?
Yes.
It is a costume party.
Yes.
And I am dressed as Eleven from Stranger Things.
Okay.
And nobody knows who I am.
I haven't seen the show.
Clearly, no one has seen the show on Netflix, so except for my little bubble of friends who said I looked awesome and somewhat creepy.
All right. Well, I don't normally wear spandex, a full spandex outfit, but I'm going as Peter Parker's Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least people know you are Spider-Man.
Right. I've got no place to put my wallet, my keys, or my phone, so I have to like keep a friend close by. Also, I can't use my phone because the gloves cover up the fingers, and going to the bathroom is rather interesting.
Well, I won't even touch that one.
I can't touch it either. All right, so there's a third person in this conversation. Let's bring him on in.
Hey, Steve, welcome to this crossover episode.
Steve Anderson.
Podcast.
Welcome
Steve
to the show.
Steve Anderson, yeah.
We should say his last name, too.
Of course.
Yeah, let's
so
do that.
So welcome. Thank you for hanging out at National Student Conclave, and even though it's a little loud in the background, but hey.
We love it.
Whatever. So thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So this is a collaborative episode. So Karen and I are melding our podcasts together. You wanted to talk about collaboration in a different way within the healthcare profession field. Let's talk a little bit about that. What do you mean by that?
Absolutely. One of my mantras over the last few years has been collaborate or die. So my feeling is PTs shouldn't be working in silos. We need to work with other healthcare practitioners and other health and wellness practitioners. I worry about the people that just do their own thing all the time. We need to really work together, use each other's expertise, and together we provide a team for the patient, which I think is in their best interest in the long run.
Yeah, I had a woman named Jen Gamboa who was on the show not long ago, and she's got a practice that has massage therapists, physical therapists. She got trainers, and she says sometimes people will come into my clinic and they'll need PT, and then I'll give them PT. But sometimes they come into my clinic thinking they need PT, and I'll know that that's not what that would be best for that patient at that particular time. And that's a good way, I thought, to put collaboration in one particular clinic.
No, it's a great approach. PTs can't do everything and shouldn't do everything. So we should do what we're best at. We know what we're best at, and the rest of the time we just need to collaborate. Especially when we go into healthcare systems, if they're going to be paid with bundled payments,
right,
we have to show our value. And our value is we're really great at the musculoskeletal diagnosis and really figuring out what's wrong. And as I've told a lot of people, we'll be paid more for our heads than our hands in the future. So we need to really be great at that, but it's okay to use other people to give the full treatment care.
Sharon Dunn said that exact sentence verbatim about 2 hours ago. We'll get paid more with our heads than we will with our hands.
Yeah, I think she stole that from me.
So my question is this. We're at the National Student Conclave. How do you teach students to recognize when maybe what we do as a physical therapist isn't what is best for that particular patient? Because that's hard. You want to help. When that patient's in front of you, you want to grab them and own them.
Work with a lot of other practitioners. So, in other words, don't think you can do it all yourself.
Right.
You're really good at what you do. Grasp onto what we do, and we got to own what we do. But on the other hand, It's okay to use extenders. It's okay to use people that have expertise in other areas. And not everybody needs that hands-on, highly skilled PT approach. They might need yoga. They might need movement. They might need just exercise in general. If we collaborate and work to the highest level of our skill level, I think we'll be better off in the long run.
That's got to be difficult to be humble enough to say, you know what? What I can do isn't what you need right now. You should go over here and refer out.
When I've been in this conference, I've given two talks, and I offended them twice by basically saying, when you start as a PT, you're clueless. You just start your 10,000 hours in your first position. So what you need to do, I think, is just work with people you really respect, find a mentor who really knows what's doing, and just suck everything out of them that you can. And from there, you'll learn that and realize that no matter how hard you want to try, you can't do everything. So just do what you're really good at and lean on other people to help you do the total care.
Yeah, you mentioned keeping those smart people around, those mentors around. I think that's important, but not just PT mentors too, right? People who are really good at what they do that might not be PT.
That's true. And I think we all tend to drink our own Kool-Aid sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so getting expertise outside of our niche is good, although we need to really own what we do well.
Yeah.
You know, I think we do things, so many things well, that we can't just be giving it away either. We need to own what we do.
Okay.
Quick thought. You had just talked about finding a good mentor. So as a student, how do you seek out that mentor to collaborate with? And how do you know when you have a good mentor? A lot of people claim to be mentors, but how do you know when you have a good mentor?
Yeah. I tell students this all the time. PTs will say, you'll say, do you mentor? And they'll say, oh yeah, I mentor. But there's a real difference between being a mentor and just taking advice or giving advice.
Right.
As a student, I would look for an organization that has very structured mentoring programs. So many hours dedicated to that, working with a high-level professional, having some structure of mentorship. And not everyone has that. Dr. Craig Hensley talked today how there's so few. Like Northwestern has two mentorships. USC has three or four. There's not enough. But there are organizations that do have mentorship built into their system. So I would just seek out as a new professional, where are those programs? And they're out there. APTA has record of who has a good mentorship program. So I would look to that and just seek that out. You can also go through organizations like Evidence in Motion.
Yeah.
Even though you still work somewhere else, you can do mentorship through their program.
A follow-up to that, I agree with everything you just said. I think that's a good way to identify a good mentor, because I think a lot of physical therapy practices like to throw that word mentorship around. They like to throw that and dangle that in front of new grads' faces and say, oh, yeah, 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 we offer mentorship. But having a structure is a good way to weed out who is a mentor and who is just someone who's going to throw you some advice every once in a while.
Yeah. You know, not to give a sell on my company, but we take that very seriously.
Yeah.
So every new professional who comes to our practice has mentorship hours scheduled with a NIOMP fellow. So you know that you have the quality. And then we also have a mentorship training program throughout our organization. So you can learn how to be a mentor. And as I've told others, as a mentor, you don't have to know all the answers. It's not about giving answers. It's about leading people through a discovery process so that they figure it out on their own, because they have the skill and the knowledge. It's just hard to put it together. So with a good mentor, they'll get you there.
Yeah. You can go ahead and name drop the company. Let's do a little plug.
Well, my company is Therapeutic Associates.
Yeah.
We're a private practice in the Pacific Northwest.
You got a bunch of locations, too.
Yeah, we've got over 80 locations, and we've been around since 1952.
So you're doing something right if you've been around that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. You did something a little bit outside the box, something I've heard whispers about. I've heard people say, have you heard about these? Have you heard about these? It's always like at a bar, at a happy hour event, at a convention. Graham Sessions, talk a little bit about that.
The Graham Sessions is a conference that we put together out of frustration that so many of our conferences are so structured, and it's hard to just talk about issues and debate the issues. So the Graham Sessions has no rules other than what we say we keep confidential.
Yeah.
As far as who said what. So hopefully we create an environment where you can be a little vulnerable. If you feel strong about something, you can say it and debate it and argue it, where somebody's not going to come back and say, oh, so-and-so said this at the Graham Sessions. This will be our 10th year, and I have not heard of one violation of that code.
Wow.
So it's awesome. Yeah. So we just have a lot of debates about issues that's on everybody's minds that we just need to talk about without the structure of Robert's Rules and all that.
Well, what's the approximate size? How many people are in a room conversing and talking?
Yeah, we try and keep it to 150 because we feel like the dynamic will change if we get above that. So that's
still a good size room.
That's why it's an invite, just to kind of control that. We have different sessions that talk about topics, and then we have experts that frame it, and then we just debate and discuss it as a group.
I like that very much.
I went last year to Graham Sessions for the first time. What I really liked about it was that you had people from different backgrounds, different age groups, probably from people in their 70s, 80s, right? Down to new grads. And everybody had a voice, and nobody was better than anyone else, quote unquote better. And I just felt like it was a place where you can feel okay getting up on the mic. I don't know, it's just such a good environment. And everybody just debated the issues in a very positive way. And I think that is something that can be lacking, especially in an online environment. So when you get a group of really smart people in one room and they debate things thoughtfully, I think it turns into a great event.
Those of us that have been around for a while, we can learn a lot from the energy and wild ideas of students. On the other hand, you cannot buy experience. Experience is extremely important.
Yeah,
so even though, you know, somebody say, well, the guy's been around forever, that experience is very valuable. So really the beauty of it is when you meld the two, I think great things can happen. So we can really learn from each other as long as we're willing to listen.
Steve, why do you come to an event like National Student Conclave? Why do you come back and speak here?
The energy's great. Yeah. It's our future. You got to build for the future. I'd like to think that I've been a visionary over my career, so you got to build from the very beginning all through the whole spectrum. And if you can get these people excited about our profession, maybe give some experience from my long career. I took some chances today, and I said some things that I thought might be a little taken controversial. I've had a lot of people come out and say, I really appreciated what you said, and they can hear it, and they can decide what works for them and what resonates and what doesn't.
I like that a lot. All right, so every episode that we do is a pint, and before we're done with the pint, we have shots. I'm talking about a parting shot of wisdom. If you were to be able to address all the students here at conference and even the ones that couldn't come with a parting shot of wisdom, one thing, what would you leave them with?
Be a lifelong learner. Never stop. I'm about 6 weeks out from retiring from my job at Therapeutic Associates.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm here still learning every day.
Yeah, good for you.
So that's the people you want to be around. Who you surround yourself with throughout your career is going to put you on a trajectory to where you will end up.
Yeah.
So if you're not happy with the apathetic people you're around,
get out.
Get together with the movers and shakers, because that's going to launch you into a career that you can look back on and be really proud about.
I like that a lot. Steve Anderson, I appreciate the advice and you coming out to an event like this and sharing your experience with the next generation of physical therapists.
Well, thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Oh,
you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye, 11.
Goodbye.
Happy
Bye,
Halloween.
Man.
Appreciate you talking with us, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That's it. Cool.
We packed the cooler full of beer and took the show on the road. The PT Pintcast, poured by Arias Medical Group. This is the PT Pintcast. Recorded live from the National Student Conclave in Miami, Florida. Proudly supported by the American Physical Therapy Association. With your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
We have Steve Anderson, former private practice section president, to talk with us about the most important decision you'll ever make as a PT.
Usually I have a clip.
The most important decision you'll ever make as a physical therapist is where you'll start your career. On day one, let's be honest, you're clueless. You got 10,000 hours to get figured out here on how to be a great PT. And sometimes you just have to get underneath the hood and figure it out. Sometimes it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of failure, but you'll get there eventually. Because really there's two scenarios you're going to follow. One would be the apathetic, non-engaged, don't value outside of work day, don't value learning outside of work day, focused on life more than work, employee mentality, the me thing. Imagine what the trajectory of your career will be like if you're working with those people. Or you can look at the professional career outlook where you have ownership mentality. You're willing to work for a salary, not hourly. You are lifelong learners, teamwork attitude, so on. So you can see where it is. Because what you're going to find out is that in the future, we're going to be paid for what's in our heads, not in our hands. So you need to develop into a master clinician who can diagnose efficiently. Hands-on skills are important, but treatment isn't going to help if you don't know what you're treating. The other thing to consider is that we are going to be paid for outcomes, not procedures. This will help you become a better PT. So find an organization that believes in outcomes and supports you in that way. And also building relationships and functioning within a team of healthcare professionals. You can't be a PT and work in a silo. You need to work with others, and we need to really work on being better collaborators. And if there's anything you can take away from this talk today, it's this one thing. Educate each and every patient that you see about the value of PT. Make sure that when they leave, they understand what it is. The next thing I would recommend is find a learning organization. You need to find a place where people are going to honor your willingness to learn and grow, going to put good stuff in that head of yours, give you chances to practice, and allow you to fail, because we all know we learn more when we fail than we do when we succeed. And the other thing is look for leadership training opportunities. I personally think that leadership training is also very important. And then mentorship opportunities. It doesn't work in business. You know why? Because people are afraid you're going to get ahead of them on the corporate ladder. But in physical therapy, it works great. So find programs that structure that and have time scheduled for that. And then jump into that leadership development. If you can find a place that believes in leadership and helps you develop that, you're going to be a better PT. Because what we know is the best PTs are really the best leaders. I can't think of anything more perfect to describe leadership when treating patients and helping them through healthy behaviors. Communication, motivator, inspiring, educating people, visionary, those are all leadership skills. That's what we do in PT every day. And who knows who you might be treating? Someday that person might win an Olympic gold medal and they're going to give you the credit for getting them there. So take these things seriously, find the right place to develop them. You know, many people say they're just too busy. They're overwhelmed. They can't deal with this. They don't have time to take care of themselves, let alone be open to help others. But it's amazing what you can do. You have to be willing to pay it forward and to teach. And give back to your profession. Become a member. You also have to open up your calendar. So make sure that your calendar is available to help others. Because if you want others to help you, you got to be willing to help them and pay it forward. So give back to your profession. Become a member of the Professional Association for Life. That's easy for you all because you're already there. But help your other colleagues understand this and why. And become an ambassador for the value of PT in healthcare. Spread the word and celebrate what we do and what we contribute, like our esteemed president here, Sharon Dunn. She does it every day, every week, two weekends in a row. I've been with her. So spread the word and tell everyone the good things that we do. So what am I trying to tell you today here? I'm telling you to control your own destiny. Do it your way. You don't have to conform, but be innovative. Be picky. Be smart. Do your research and never settle for mediocrity. Find colleagues who will support you and push you to learn and grow. If you work with those people, you're going to be in a much better place 5-10 years down the road. And if you do your homework and if you do your research, if you make the right choice, and get a little bit lucky, you might have an amazing career and work for the same organization for 37 years that I have.
Working at his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
Thought about a career as a traveling physical therapist? Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for PTs nationwide. Whether you're a new graduate or seasoned therapist, an exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.